The latest tips and equipment to improve your game.
Did you know?
The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Now, here's your host for Golf in the Northwest, Jason Swigert.
And a fine good morning to you all, wherever you are joining us from. 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, on the Odyssey stream. YouTube, good morning, YouTube. How are you? Not sure this is what you wanted to see first thing on a Saturday morning, but yet alone, here we are. The big man, Will Ortner, in with us here, as he will be for the ongoing next several months, is Will Darkins. Everything went well. Bibbin number two in the Darkins family joined us last week. Everybody happy and healthy. Congratulations to the Darkins. Emma looks absolutely adorable. Everybody, I'm told, is happy, healthy, home, and all getting to know one another. So congratulations to them, and we'll see if and when we hear from Will Darkins in the future.
Yeah, I believe July. I think after you celebrate the 4th, my understanding is he'll be back at least for a little bit.
Okay. You know.
It's Will. You never know.
Listen, like, I know.
Everyone was like, did she have the baby? Did she not? And then as soon as questions started flying around, oh, yeah, by the way, here's my beautiful baby girl.
Exactly. So all is well there. We have a lot going on. It's that time of the year. The weather hit. The heat's coming. Our first true 90-degree day scheduled for tomorrow. And so if you are headed out to play, wherever you are headed out to play, one, please be respectful of the courses, mindful of what's going on to allow the superintendents to keep them up to play. Looks like it's just a brief heat wave, just kind of over the weekend, and then it'll come back down into the 70s, 80s, 70s early next week. So we're not going to get any sustained sort of heat to bake everything out. Yourselves, please be conscious of yourselves. Extra hydration. If you like to enjoy an adult beverage out on the course, please make sure you're doing such in moderation. You are hydrating yourself. Have a little something to eat there as well. And wait till you get into the 19th hole, maybe, before you get serious. We have Scott Erdman, who's the director of player development out at Oswego Lake Country Club. He's going to come back on. I know we've had him on over the years. One of the great local club pros around the area. He's qualified for the PGA Championships before as one of the club pros. And so he recently was out there at the Callaway Invitational event here in the Oregon chapter of the PGA of America. He was the top pro finisher at that event and is one of the top pros in the Player of the Year standings going on here in the area. But it is that time. The school year wrapping up for the kiddos. They have a lot of great programs, as do so many of our courses with Operation 36, junior programs, junior camps, all of those things. So now that we're out there in the mode to play and compete at whatever level you might be. I know a lot of the courses are starting to have their bigger tournaments of the season coming into effect. We wish everybody well out of my course out there at Forest Hills. The players, their Players Championship going on this weekend. A lot of courses are gearing up for their own version of a U.S. Open style where they get the greens as fast as they can go. They tuck the pins back from the tips, grow out the rough, all that fun stuff. Going on. So we'll talk to Scott a little bit about if you're getting ready to play in your club championship or some event like that, a big tournament coming up where you want to be able to score, you want to make sure your game is in as good a shape as it is. What are some of the things that you can do here as you're preparing to do that? And next week is the U.S. Open out at Oakmont, the 125th U.S. Open Championship. Oakmont hosting for the 10th time. I believe that is the most or tied for the most of any course hosting the U.S. Open. It is looking to be a bear, as it has been in the past. The rough is gnarly. I don't know how many people saw the Bryson DeChambeau little short video out on social media. He was playing a practice round there. So accuracy will be at a premium, just the way the USGA would like it. We'll see what they're doing. We'll kind of go through a little bit. We'll hear a little bit of audio. But they are playing up at the RBC Canadian Open. Rory not playing on the weekend. We've got some audio from him, some of the stuff he's going through. An unlikely leader in Cameron Champ, who has been off the radar for a few years now due to injuries and other things he's dealing with. You'll hear from him. You'll hear from Jack Nicklaus talking about Scottie Scheffler. He won a couple of weeks ago and looks to be back into form, the dominant form we saw from him a year ago. We got Big Will Betts here from the BetMGM Network, so we're going to take advantage of that. If you're looking to try to make a few bucks out of the U.S. Open, maybe we'll see. We'll see how much you dabble in the golf when it comes to laying the wager.
I always like to put a little bit down. There's always something fun going. And plus, if you win, with how long those odds are, it's always nice to come back and say,
well,
like,
yeah,
hey, look at what I got. Nice big win. I'm on the way for my career Grand Slam. I've got the Masters.
Okay.
I've got a U.S. Open. I have a PGA Championship.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm all eyes are on the Open this year. I got to get the Open. Got to complete my career Grand Slam there.
Well, but the U.S. Open, it's Scotty is a overwhelming favorite.
He has to be.
Not a lot of value right there. We will check the latest odds, courtesy of the DraftKings Oregon Lottery, which is the only place here in Oregon where you can do that. But as always, we start by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
All right, four tours going on. We're keeping an eye on this weekend. The PGA Champions Tour is in Madison, Wisconsin, TPC Wisconsin, for the American Family Insurance Championship. They've turned this into a team event, which I think is fun. You do it as a one-off in some of these events that aren't, you know, higher end, big, you know, draws or majors, those sorts of things. I'd like to see the creativity. So it's the first year, two-man teams. They'll play best ball in rounds one and three. Today in round two, it is a scramble. So the winning team will share $600,000. Thomas Bjorn of Denmark playing with Darren Clark from Northern Ireland. They are at 12 under, about to tee off a little bit later. Richard Green, Mark Hensby, Australian crew. They are at 10 under. Steve Stricker playing with Mario Tiziani. They are in a group with 9 under. The Argentinian duo of Angel Cabrera and Ricardo Gonzalez also at 9 under. Scott Parrell, Woody Austin at 9 under as well. Ernie Els, Tim Heron in that group. So fun event. 5 o'clock this afternoon, you will see coverage on the Golf Channel. And so that is what the Champions Tour is up to. More importantly, the Korn Ferry Tour. This is one of their bigger events where they get together with celebrities, the BMW Charity Pro-Am presented by TD Synex. They are at the Thornblade Club in Greer, South Carolina. It is a lot of fun. This is one of their premier events. Our man, Alistair Dougherty, did not make it, but he's a little exhausted because on golf's longest day, this previous Monday passed, he qualified for the U.S. Open. He was one of four qualifiers out at the Durham, North Carolina qualifier at the Duke University course. And so he will play for the first time next week out at Oakmont. We wish him nothing but success. Had a nice 5-under-66 in the opening round, but could not follow it up. 1-over-73, so at 4-under, he missed the cut. While he's disappointed, he's dropping a few points, but I think the opportunity to play in the U.S. Open, get out there to Oakmont when he can, start to get ready for some practice rounds and see where his game. He's got the distance, no question. The question for Alistair always is his short game. Can he make enough putts? But I think him grinding out pars is more in line with his game. As for the leaders here, Austin Smotherman is your leader at 16 under par. He's 18th right now on the Korn Ferry Tour points list. The top 20 will get their tour cards. And he's got 13 starts yet to have a top 10 this season. And so this would go a long way for him to putting him in contention for that PGA Tour card. He has a two-shot lead over Sebastian Kapellen of Denmark and Nico Galletti, as well as Pearson Coody. And so we will keep an eye on that one. But the celebrities are out there as well. A lot of NFL, former NFL athletes, former NHL players, they have a good old time out there. LPGA Tour, one of their long, long time tournaments. Just a 54-hole, might be the last 54-hole tournament on the LPGA Tour. It is the ShopRite LPGA Classic from Galloway, New Jersey. And second round is underway this morning. Ilhi Lee of Korea, your leader at 12 under. First round leader, Elizabeth Zokol of the United States, 11 under, 3 under through 11 today. Mao Saigo, who was in contention to win the U.S. Open last week and fell back in the final round after winning at the Chevron, 9 under par there. But we want to go back to the U.S. Open last week. Nelly Korda, we were saying for the sake of the tour, it would really jumpstart things for them to have her go on and win that thing. Finished in a tie for second, just could not get the putter working. And it was Maja Stark of Sweden pulling away for a comfortable victory. And the third Swede to ever win the U.S. Women's Open, first since 2006, joins Liselotte Neumann and Annika Sorenstam. Annika won it three times. And the first major champion from Sweden since 2021, Annika Nordqvist there winning the AIG Women's Open. And so quite a performance there. And it continued a streak. The 11th different major champion on the LPGA Tour, Alison Corpuz, won the 2023 U.S. Women's Open. So they have had a string of no repeats, nobody doubling up. But it was quite a performance from Maja Stark, and the Solheim Cup shaping up. Europe looking to possibly have quite a team that they are putting together for the next Solheim Cup. PGA Tour, last chance to qualify for the U.S. Open is a winner if they are not already in it. And that would be Cameron Champ. A name that we thought was going to be one of those next up-and-coming rising stars, won a few times at a very young age on tour, then some injuries, and then dealing with mental health issues that he's been forthcoming about. He hasn't won since 2021, and this season only in five events, only made a couple of cuts. He was the eighth alternate going into things, but a several number of withdrawals for various reasons, and all of a sudden he decided to go up to Toronto. They're playing TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. Took his passport, and next thing you know, the eighth alternate is in. He is at 12 under par, two shots clear of Tacoma area native Andrew Putnam at 10 under, and so they are looking to get a much-needed victory, trying to jumpstart. We'll hear from Cameron Champ in a little bit, just kind of some of the things that he has had to deal with over the last several years. But early round play, and they're going low. Conditions are great this morning out there. Alex Smalley, 6-under through 13. He is at 9-under, now 3 off the pace. You've got several 4-unders going on. So not only would the winner qualify for the U.S. Open next week, but The top three finishers not already qualified for the Open Championship in July out at Royal Portrush will get in. That would be Cameron Champ, Andrew Putnam, possibly Richard Lee as well from Canada. Smalley's just made another birdie on 14. He's 7 under on his round, so we got 59 watch on. He is 10 under now, still 4 holes to go. So if that is any indicator, look for the leaders to go low here this afternoon. You'll get coverage at 10 a.m. on Golf Channel. And then we will see who has the coverage today. It will be CBS picking it up at noon, both today and tomorrow. So a lot on the line. The bigger story maybe for some is Rory McIlroy, who blew up. He had a quad. I had that in common with him. Playing yesterday, we both shot quads, so you know, me and Rory right there,
same player. That you always love shooting a quad when a pro shoots a quad, because then you can say it's the
exactly
same.
we both shot quads. Yeah, he was striking it all over the place, taking some penalty. I forget what exactly happened on that sixth hole, but yeah,
we've all been there.
So played at Creekside yesterday. First time down there. Just Danny and Maddie running an absolutely wonderful facility down there in South Salem. What a little hidden gem. It is a private club there for those of the members. But our buddy Terry over at KGON, that's where he plays, had Sprague and I down. And thanks to him, what a absolutely wonderful course. If you ever have the chance to get down there, play it in any way, shape, or fashion, I would highly recommend it. Absolutely friendly staff. Greens were in tremendous shape. Lots of challenge out there on the 18-hole course. And so just wonderful. Thanks so much to everybody that allowed that. And, boy, if we get the opportunity again, love to go down there. You can go that creeksidegolf.com, find out about it. If you're looking possibly as a place and you want to get into more of a membership-oriented club, not cost prohibitive. So see if that's it's a little bit out of the way, but very much worthwhile, worth the drive. Had a tremendous time down there at Creekside, though. Thanks to everybody down there. Let's come back. Let's have some audio. I want to hear from Rory McIlroy. He is dealing with things that all of us go through, trying to figure out the driver. And he's trying to figure that out. Not really what you want to be doing the week before the U.S. Open. We'll hear from Cameron Champ, who, again, was one of those wunderkids coming up, one early on in his career multiple times. Everybody thought he was going to be somebody that was going to get to the top and be the next whoever you want and a consistent winner on tour. Didn't happen. Physical injury, dealt with a lot of mental health issues that he continues to deal with. Talked about that. Jack Nicklaus talked about the champion of his tournament, Scottie Scheffler, and why his game is so ready to go, why he's such a heavy favorite at the U.S. Open coming up at Oakmont this next week. And then Scott Erdman, Director of Player Development at Oswego Lake Country Club, going to join us, talk about getting your game ready for your clubs or your favorite courses events coming up. Here as we get into the summer season. So much going on. The weather's great. Hope you are on your way to a tee time here shortly. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:31 here this morning, Golf in the Northwest, Center and Saint to follow us at 9 o'clock. And then Yankees, Red Sox, some baseball for you here this afternoon, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Right here on The Fan, it'll be game two of the NBA Finals, and we'll see how the Thunder respond after having it stolen from them by the Pacers in game one. That'll be at 4 o'clock as well, your weekend here on The Fan. But right now, it's the Business of Golf. Very pleased to be welcoming back to the program the Director of Player Development out at Oswego Lake Country Club, coming off his performance at the Oregon the OPGA Callaway Invitational, where he was the low professional with a 2 under 140, 73 and 67 in the final round, making up some distance there. Scott Erdman joining us here. Good morning, Scott. How are things over there in my old stomping grounds there in Lake Oswego?
Everything's great. Beautiful morning. Busy day in the lesson tee. Yeah, good morning.
Well, that's good. I'm sure the tee sheet is full, probably earlier than later. But you have been playing well on the series this year. I don't know where this moved you up to. I think you were in the top five going into this in terms of the player of the year.
You know, I have not looked. I don't. Yeah, I wouldn't think so. It doesn't feel like it's been a great year. So it was nice to have a good tournament. Kind of turn things around a little bit.
Always a good. Yeah, out at Arrowhead and Mullalah, and I know everybody's getting ready for the Oregon Open at Aspen Lakes next week. As far as for the club professionals, I don't think people realize, you know, and we've tried to highlight that on the show here over the years, just how much you have going on, especially at this time of the year, if you are, you know, depending on which piece of it, if it's more the instruction as it is for you, or if you're the head pro and now it's tournament season, whether it's club tournaments and whether it's charitable events, all of those stuff going on, making sure the courses and you're working with your superintendents and your greens committees to make sure everything is dialed in. How hard is it to keep your game up to snuff at this time of the year?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's it can be a challenge. Yeah, I mean, in my case, you know, I'm a teacher, so I can kind of control my schedule a little bit. But it really just comes down to, I guess, just prioritizing, you know, but, it just depends on what's going on in your life. You know, if you got, young kids and you're driving to sports and yeah, working at the club and, you know, a busy tee sheet or a busy lesson schedule, it can be tough, but it's, as I get a little bit older, it gets probably a little bit easier, but, yeah, it's a challenge.
Well, looking at it, I found it. You were fifth after last week in the player of the year thing. So those results should help you.
Yeah, all right.
Moving into thing, everybody was chasing Chad Fribley out there at Persimmon. As it relates, though, to player development going on, I know OLCC has a lot of junior programs, and with school ending, I believe next week for most of the districts in the area. What is kind of the key now where you'll see a lot of youth at all levels wanting them to be active, and if golf is where they want to go, what are some of the things that are coming up, not only there, obviously, you know, for members, but other ways to get kids involved at all levels, whether they're being introduced to the game or whether they've been playing for a while and want to get more competitive?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many opportunities now. I think, you know, you kind of rewind back 10 years or so, and, you know, there wasn't a lot. You know, clubs would have maybe a summer junior camp that might be a couple days or a week, and that was really about it. And there's so many player development programs now that are out there, whether it's, you know, an Operation 36 or PGA Junior League. Just about every club has something, and they're long-term player development programs, which is great. So, you know, the kids don't just get a taste of it and then they're back to their other sports. You know, there's opportunities year round, not just in the summertime. And I think, you know, a lot of clubs in the area, you know, kind of subscribe to one of those kind of platforms, whether it be PGA Junior League, where you're on a team and you're playing against other clubs, or if you're at a facility that uses Operation 36, where you have weekly matches and you know, classes every week where you're working on all your skills. There's a lot to be offered, and you know, we have a really big program here. We have about 80 kids that come in a week for about 7 months out of the year, where we kind of offer our programs, and it's go, go, go.
What's for parents, what's the key to finding the right program? Obviously, you know, some of it's age specific, you know, high school kids obviously being different from, you know, grade school kids, but, what's the key to finding the right fit, whether it's a junior league team, whether it's something that's a little bit more intensive, how much individual versus kind of group or competitive sorts of environments to make sure that, one, they're having fun, and two, they're developing?
Yeah, well, I think you just said it right there, that they're having fun. You know, again, back, you know, 10 years ago or so, you know, you had your summer junior camps and, you know, it's really just heavy on instruction, or that certainly could be the case if you're doing private lessons, which is great for some kids, but certainly not for all and not for most. It needs to be kind of gamified. And I think that's what, you know, Operation 36 has done, is they really kind of gamified that the learning aspect of the game. And so when it comes to, like, you know, trying to find, you know, which is the best facility for you, I'd say it's, you know, somebody that has, you know, somebody's been doing it for a while, but also offers long-term programming. So, you know, if your kids end up liking it, they have that opportunity to kind of stay learning. And it's just not like a, you know, a couple day thing or a week long thing, that they have that opportunity to kind of grow with that coach. And you know, I think the big thing is, just like you said, it's that fun. You gotta make sure the kids are having fun.
Scott Erdman is the director of instruction out at Oswego Lake Country Club. How much do you go back to your introduction into golf? I know you mentioned Tom Carey helped you kind of get introduced to it as something you want to be involved in as a regular sport, not just, you know, an activity or something to do for fun on a random Saturday or Sunday, but how much do you go back to what were the keys that instilled it and sparked the passion for you to try to bring to instruction now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned Tom. I hadn't seen him for a long time. I just saw him at the Callaway the other day, so it was great catching up with him, and certainly brings back, you know, a ton of memories, because without growing up with his son and, you know, that introduction to the game, I probably wouldn't have had, at least not at that level, where that was my, you know, first job, was working at a driving range and being around golf professionals. You know, I learned pretty young, high school for sure. You know, when I was done, I went to a golf academy or golf college, and I just couldn't think of anything else I wanted to do more than be around the game and teach the game. So, yeah. Great memories of that. And then also, you know, my family, you know, my dad and my two brothers are all golfers, and we probably all learned about the same time. No one person was kind of, you know, playing more. I think we all kind of kind of started the game together, and everybody became a pretty good golfer that we still get out today.
Well, and now we're getting into the season, both for the, you know, junior players, as well as everybody. Clubs are having their club championships. They're doing their U.S. Open style events. When you're working, giving instruction, whether it's juniors, whether it's, you know, your other members, what are things as you're gearing up to play more in competitive style and tournament, things that you tend to focus the instruction on, rather than maybe rebuilding a swing or a stance or, you know, ground up sort of stuff, to helping them go out and compete and score?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about helping a student as they kind of go into tournament season.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I think each person's going to be a little bit different, kind of their wants and needs. And obviously that's where the professional kind of jumps in and, you know, kind of maybe holds them back sometimes from blowing things up and starting over, which, you know, golfers, we're kind of a funny bunch. We kind of want to do that at times. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a back and forth. You know, you just kind of have to weigh out the positives and negatives of making changes and what that means and what that could look like and how long it could take to change a pattern, which can sometimes take a long time. But I don't know that I have an exact philosophy, other than, you know, I'm going to, you know, proceed with caution when it comes to making changes when it's tournament time. It's really more, I think, about having, you know, purposeful practice, that, you know, you're kind of, you're paying attention to your weaknesses and you're working on those in a way that's kind of measured, than just kind of going out and beating balls. I think that's what, you know, there's a problem that golfers get into, is just, you know, dropping a bucket of balls and hitting, yeah, you know, 107 irons.
Chatting here with Scott Erdman, the director of player development out there at Oswego Lake Country Club. And the other thing now is obviously conditions. The weather here in the Pacific Northwest has been as good as anywhere in the country through spring. It has been gradual. It's been drier than it's been without being extremely hot. Courses seemingly are as well prepared and maintained for the summer as we've seen them in the last number of years. But now it's going to get hot. Now everything's going to get firm and fast, those greens, and you're going to have to change kind of your approach a little bit. We're going to see it at the U.S. Open, landing things short, not getting maybe as much spin. How do you go adjusting your game or when you're on the tee working out, you know, your distances, those sorts of things, to managing courses now that things are going to get firm and fast?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the biggest kind of differences you see between maybe amateur golf and professional golf. I mean, it's just having those experiences where you've seen it. You know kind of how it reacts. We certainly had some of that at Arrowhead where, it gets really bouncy and you get in the rough and it's really hard to kind of stop. I think this time of year, one of the things that I think a lot of people kind of misunderstand is a lot of times when you're in the rough, the ball goes further. It doesn't go shorter. And that's because you're not getting any spin. So you get into the rough and in the summertime and it's bouncy. That ball comes out. Sometimes it comes out with no spin, so it flies further. But then when it lands, it really bounces out. So it's definitely a feel thing. It's a hard thing to kind of I don't know if I'd say measure, but it's just definitely something from experience. You kind of are able to kind of gauge those things, but it also, it's kind of like reading greens. You're kind of guessing, but it's from your experiences allow you to kind of, you know, make your best educated guess, I suppose.
Well, what's, I know you guys have a lot of summer programs there going on, but what's next for you out at the Oregon Open? And I know when do you start in working through your qualification process for the next PGA? I know I think you did that. Didn't you qualify for one not that long ago, if my memory serves?
I wish it wasn't that long ago, but it was 2011. Yeah, 2011 okay. Qualified for the Atlanta, and Keegan Bradley won.
That's right. So when do you start that process? Because I know you guys have to start with local qualifiers fairly early in the spring because that when they moved that PGA championship up to May, changed the calendar. Obviously it changed your qualification process.
Correct. Yeah. It changes the national qualifier, but the sectional qualifier for us is still the same. So that's September, and that's going to be at Canyon River in just outside of Missoula, Montana, which that's where I qualified to go to nationals. They got me to Atlanta, so hoping that goes well.
There you go.
And yeah, ways away.
Ways away.
September.
Still a lot to get through this summer. Yeah. For people that are interested finding out more about some of the development programs, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
The best way, well, as far as player development programs, I'm limited to just working with students here at the club. Going to, the PGA websites, looking up PGA Junior League, going to Operation 36, they have one of those search bars kind of where you plug in your zip code and you'll be able to find the closest coach near you.
Well,
but I'm also a resource. If somebody needs help, I'm happy to talk to them.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
No, we appreciate it. Congratulations on the play so far this year. You're playing better than you think, which is normally the case for a lot of golfers who focus on where things aren't working rather than what is working. Scott Erdman, Director of Instruction out at Oswego Lake Country Club. Best of luck on the rest of the play this summer, and we look forward to talking with you down the road in the future.
Appreciate it. Having me on.
There you go, Scott Erdman out there at OLCC. We'll come back. We will look at the odds for the U.S. Open next week at Oakmont. We'll get Big Will Betts to weigh in some of the factors that will determine where you might see a little bit of value as we get ready for U.S. Open next week. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Hitting them straight for 12 years. This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Thanks to Scott Erdman for spending a few minutes with us here this week. as we wrap things up on yet another Saturday here on Golf in the Northwest. Looking ahead to next week's U.S. Open out there at Oakmont, the 10th time they will host. They had a record, a third most entries ever, 10,052 entries for the 2024 U.S. Open, only the third time they exceeded 10,000 entries to get down to the field. So the last few spots, all of the local qualifying has been done. They're simply awaiting a champion here from the RBC Canadian Open, as well as determining the last exemptions, the qualifiers. I think it's the top, those in the top 50 in the world golf rankings after this event, few other ways to get in as we look along. But we'll bring in Big Will Betts here. If you look, Scottie Scheffler, an overwhelming favorite. If you're looking for a winner, plus 275. Rory McIlroy still at plus 850, despite what we heard there, him trying to figure out the driver. That can't be reassuring to anybody wanting to put a couple of shekels there. But it very quickly drives up. You've got Bryson DeChambeau, who is the defending U.S. Open champion, plus 900. John Rahm at plus 1,200. And then it goes to plus 2,000 to Xander Schauffele. It is hard. There was a quote, I think, from Brandel Chamblee from the Golf Channel, who was asked what he thinks the winning score is going to be this week. And he said, whatever Scottie Scheffler shoots. So he is.
That's a pretty good one.
He is as big a favorite at a major as we've seen since Tiger Woods was healthy and winning things. There's not a lot of value there. You can still make some money, but. What are you? How are you approaching how you may sprinkle the board, as it were, for the U.S. Open?
I feel like at this point, Scottie has deserved my respect, and I will just blind put a unit on him to win the whole thing. Like at this point, you just kind of have to believe that he's going to get the job done, or at least be in the ballpark.
He's minus money to finish top five, minus 175.
Which is insane, because that's sneaky where I feel like you can go in and actually make a nice buck or two, because picking a winner is going to be very difficult. But depending on the course, you can find a player like in the Masters, Justin Rose. Justin Rose plays the Masters incredibly well. You can go and put money on him to be a top 10 finisher, top 5. Depending on how deep they are on the board, you might even be able to put a top 20 finish on them and still get some plus money value. So that's kind of how I went about looking at this so far. When we got done watching the Bryson video, as soon as I saw his ball in the rough, it's like, okay, you got to find someone who stays out of the rough. So I know he's a long shot on winning, or I guess he's a longer shot than your John Rahms, your Xander Schauffele, your Bryson DeChambeau, but I do like Morikawa. I think that he strikes the ball well. He's going to stay in the fairway. Now, he's not going to be a distance person, right? He's not going to be a long drive. But is he someone who can hit his shots, hit his spots? Yes. So he right now is at plus 2,500 to win the whole thing. If you want to just go, hey, top five for Morikawa, that's plus 400. If you want to go top 10, that's plus 190, which I don't hate. And then the sneaky one that I'm dabbling in this one. This one isn't going to be a full unit play, and I'm still early on. But right now, who is leading the PGA Tour in hitting greens in regulation? It's Sepp Straka. And so for a player like Sepp, I don't know that I want to bet him to win the entire thing. Right now, he's at plus 5,000. But to be top 5, plus 700. To be top 10, plus 320. I can't find his top 20 odds right now, but he's probably going to be right around that plus 110 mark, maybe plus 150, maybe as low as minus 110, minus 115. That's a pretty good number for a guy who's hitting a lot of greens in regulation. And I think with this type of U.S. Open, you want to find guys that are hitting greens in regulations, staying on the fairway, not dealing with a bunch of the mess on the outside.
He's plus 140 to finish top 20.
See, and I like those odds. Those are good odds for a guy who's going to hit most greens in regulation. Right now he's hitting at a 73.8%. Like, that's a good number.
And you want to talk about who's hot coming in? Ben Griffin, he finished runner-up at the Memorial. He got his first victory. He's had two wins this year, one of them a team. He's plus 180 to finish top 20. And even though he probably doesn't have as much experience out there at Oakmont as others, his game is right now in form, and he's not worried about mechanics of it. So that'll be interesting. You've got to, for this course, you have to look at the guys, one, who have the distance. You're going to have to hit it far and accurate. So you have to start there. And then other guys who are have their short games in order, especially around the greens. There's 175 bunkers on this place. Right. So who's got their sand game in order? And that's why I'm just not sure. John Rahm or McIlroy. I don't know.
Rahm scares me.
Rahm is, he could, because you can easily have a blow up round. And that's the thing going right into the weekend. If there are scattered thunderstorms, you are starting play, you're halting play. Some of the guys that tend to run hot are the guys that can do you in. As a sentimental Alistair Dougherty, we said our local player here from Vancouver, plus 165 to make the cut. Spend a couple of nickels.
I'll throw that down.
To make the cut. Hopefully, we're talking about Alistair next Saturday. That'll do it for us. Thanks again to Scott Erdman out there at Oswego Lake Country Club. Thanks to my man, Will Ortner, in here. He will join Luke Anderson in Sinner and the Saint as next. We'll talk to you U.S. Open week next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.